Let's talk about infidelity and gaslighting. And I want to talk about it in the context of after the affair has come to the surface, the gaslighting can still continue even after the fact. And I'll start with something that I think might be a little bit controversial, but sometimes couples therapy can actually cause more damage. And this isn't because therapy or couples therapy isn't good, but because many therapists aren't really adequately prepared to recognize and address the complex dynamics at play. The betrayed partner shows up emotionally dysregulated, anxious, tearful, confused, maybe even appearing paranoid. They're reading into things that they really shouldn't be. Meanwhile, the partner who's been lying and manipulative often presents as calm, rational, composed. They speak in measured tones. It almost sounds like they're singing. Every note lines up perfectly. And they express appropriate concern about their partner's emotional state. They pretend and put on a facade of empathy for their partner. And it's often a whole show. If the therapist isn't prepared to identify these gaslighting, narcissistic, manipulative traits, they might see them and believe the act, just like you had believed the act. So now they're fooling two people. They see one person who appears stable, another who appears unstable, and they draw the wrong conclusion about who needs help with what. Because what they're missing, at times, is that emotional dysregulation isn't the primary problem. It's a very normal response to a very abnormal situation. The calm, collected presentation of the gaslighting partner is not healthy. It's often a well-practiced facade designed, whether intentionally or not, to manipulate perceptions and make the other person feel like they're crazy. I have talked to so many people where, after their initial session in couples counseling, they feel like it was worse than when they went in. They describe being told that they're too controlling, too anxious, need to work on their trust issues. All the while, their partner's deceptive behavior goes unaddressed or minimized. Now, often they will still recognize the harm that the unfaithful partner has caused. They fail to see the continued forms of manipulation, the continued forms of deceit, and how they're presenting. And the reason this is so unproblematic is that the betrayed partner usually recognizes that they're still doing it. They're still up to something. But then if the counselor, therapist, doesn't also see that, it makes them feel like they're now being gaslit by two people, because they effectively are. So what is gaslighting exactly? It is a form of manipulation. So all gaslighting is manipulation, but not all manipulation is gaslighting. It's a specific form of manipulation designed to get you to question your own reality. Some phrases that it might be used with are, "No, I wasn't looking at her that way. You're being paranoid. That's not what happened. You're remembering it wrong. I was just working late. Why are you so insecure? That text didn't mean anything. You're overreacting. Everyone does XYZ. This is your issue." And over time, if they're consistent and congruent enough, you know, most people who aren't narcissistic, if they're like trying to get one over on you in a conversation, you can tell that they like don't fully mean it, and the gaslighting isn't as convincing. But for people who truly get caught up in their own narcissism, in their own deceit, in their own gaslighting, they convince themselves and they are very confident, they're very congruent, they're very persuasive. So you begin to wonder, okay, am I actually being too sensitive? Am I actually imagining things? Then you start to apologize. They did something, you clearly articulated it, they denied ever doing it, and now suddenly you're apologizing. So now you feel like, okay, I need to be less needy, I need to be less jealous. And then this is how you can end up having no self-trust left, because their constant ability to gaslight you, which again, the definition is to get you to question your own reality, means that you doubt your perceptions, which means you're now that much easier to gaslight in the future. So it becomes a very vicious cycle. And some people feel very bad about the fact they've been gaslit. They feel like it means that they're weak. But oftentimes, there's a couple things that go into it. First is just empathy. Highly empathetic people tend to be easier to gaslight. And so empathy is one of the most beautiful things about humanity, the ability to step into somebody else's shoes, feel what they're feeling. And I think that it's basically the same thing as love. To be able to love means that you are somewhat vulnerable to emotional manipulation. But that's a strength. If you ask me, the person who has empathy and is therefore liable to be manipulated every now and then, that is a strength overall. But on the other hand, the more negative side, people who are very prone to feelings of shame can also be very easily manipulated. And with shame, there's not much of a benefit, in my opinion, for that. And the reason that can happen is because there's just self-doubt. You're already doubting your own self-worth. You're already doubting your own ability to make wise decisions. And so they just tap into that doubt that's already there. But this is what gaslighters do. They take healthy things, sometimes shame, which isn't as healthy, but they take generally healthy dynamics and turn them against you. So for example, in a healthy relationship dynamic, you want to bring up problems. If something happens and it feels off, you bring that up to your partner. And because they care about your feelings, they will work with you to resolve the issue. This is normal, secure attachment behavior, not neediness, not controlling. The cruel twist of gaslighting says that this healthy attachment is now actually a problem. Your natural desire for honesty and transparency is labeled as checking up or not trusting. Your legitimate emotional responses are dismissed as drama or overreacting. Now, through this distortion, the very behaviors that would strengthen a healthy relationship become evidences of your issues and become something that they want to try to label as weakening this relationship. And since you do care about trying to be a good partner, you end up making the relationship worse because you're not addressing these things. So this is why it's very important, whatever path you take of healing, make sure that whoever is doing it is aware of these types of dynamics. Make sure that they're aware of what gaslighting actually looks like. If they can't share a story of helping a past client work through what is real and what isn't in these types of scenarios, they're probably just not going to be a great fit. And if whoever you're turning to for support takes too much of an equal responsibility frame, because there is some truth to that, that if a relationship is going to work moving forward, both parties need to be on board. But if there is not a real recognition that there is more work to be done on the unfaithful partner's side, I would run. I don't think that's a good frame to be starting from. And don't jump into things like sex therapy or communication tools before just basic honesty and transparency is established. So if you've watched this video this far, I imagine you've experienced betrayal trauma and gaslighting. And so I just want you to know, you're not crazy. You didn't cause this. Secure attachment and wanting to work through issues is not codependency. Trusting someone is not a character flaw, and healing is possible.